we're feeling here tonight, aren't you? Amen. Appreciate the nearness of His presence. And I don't believe He's done just yet. I know the Lord has got a mission here in this service. I feel like He's laid something on our heart. And I just want to encourage you tonight, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to be reading from Exodus chapter number 1. Exodus chapter number 1 and verse 8. And while you're turning there, just want to say appreciate the good meal that we had this afternoon. That was wonderful. And I bragged to my wife about it when I was here the last time, just a few weeks ago. And I tried not to brag too much. I didn't want her thinking I was trying to send a subliminal message about her cooking. Amen. But I sure did enjoy the meal today. And I enjoyed just the fellowship, all the accommodations, the hospitality, the kindness from this church. Just feel like you've treated us far better than we deserve. And we're just glad to be with you this weekend and just praying for God's will in our lives and in this church. And I believe He'll reveal it, don't you? Amen. That's the way God works. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter number 1, verse number 8. If you have it, just say amen. Amen. The Bible said, "Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us. And so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick. And in all manner of service in the field, all their service when they made them serve was with rigor." You may be stop the reading there, but I'd like to redirect your attention back to verse 12. The Bible said, "And the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew." I want you to watch that. The more they afflicted them, they what? The more they became sorrowful? No. The more they got discouraged? No. The more they decreased in number? No. The more they afflicted them, the more power they gained, the stronger they got, the more mightier they became. In other words, these people, they were afflicted, but they were just not affected. Aren't you glad for that? That's what I want to preach about tonight for a little while here. Amen. Need the Lord's anointing. I want to preach on afflicted, but not affected. Afflicted, but not affected. Our scripture reading comes from the second book of the Pentateuch, the book of Exodus. And let me say, each one of the books that was penned by the hand of Moses holds a special place and a specific value to the life of the believer. It is especially so with the book of Exodus. For you see, Genesis is the book of generations, or the book of beginnings. Leviticus is the book of offerings. Numbers is the book of numberings, or the organization of a theocracy. And Deuteronomy is the book of rehearsals, or the repetition of the law. But Exodus is the book of redemption. It literally means departure, or a way out. And I'm glad we've been given a way out, aren't you? You know, there's a lot of people and a lot of preachers that can get you into some things. They can get you into trouble. They can get you into controversy. They can get you entangled in doctrine. They can get you into a real mess. But I've come to tell you, there is somebody who can get you out of whatever it is that you've been put into. I said, only God knows how to get you out. Only God knows where the exit signs and the escape routes can be found in your circumstance and in your present dilemma. My friend, He can reach way down with that strong and mighty hand, with that heavenly hand, and He can pick you up and pull you out, and you can walk away. You can depart with healing, with joy, with victory, and with a blessing in your soul. I want to tell you, friend, if you'll just hang in there for a little while longer, God's going to come by, and He's going to bring, He's going to break you, and He's going to bail you out of some things. You know that? Yes. Hallelujah. During the 1800s, John Patton was a missionary to the New Hebrides Islands, located in the South Pacific.
At that time, those islanders had been completely untouched by Western civilization. They were nothing but a bunch of heathens and cannibals. Late one night, those hostile natives surrounded the mission station. They were intent on burning the Pattons out of their home and killing each one of them. As you can imagine, John Patton and his wife, they were horrified. They did the only thing they knew to do, Brother Jones. They prayed fervently all through that terror-filled night. They asked for God to somehow deliver them and their family. When daylight arrived, they were amazed to see their attackers suddenly leave. But here's the interesting part of the story. A year later, the chief of that tribe was miraculously converted to Christ. Remembering what had happened, Mr. Patton asked him what had kept him from burning down his home and killing him and his family just a year before. He said that chief's eyes got real big. In his own native tongue, he said, "Who were all those men that were with you that night?" John Patton said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "There wasn't anybody with us that night. It was just my family and I." That chief said, "Oh, yes, there were." He said, "We were getting ready to kill you when suddenly we seen hundreds of big men in shining garments and drawn swords circling, protecting your house." He said, "They kept barking at us with an intimidating stare until we couldn't take it any longer." He said, "We got so scared that we had to leave. That's why you're still alive today." Amen. Can I tell you tonight, the God who delivered the children of Israel and who delivered John Patton and his family, He's the same God who can deliver you too. Amen. Maybe you're here and you feel like all of hell is against you. The enemy has got you cornered. You're surrounded on every side and you don't know which way to turn. You don't know where to go or what to do. The devil has threatened you. He's already told you how things are going to end up. He's already told you what the outcome will be. But I'm here to tell somebody on the authority of God's Word that you can come out of the expected outcome. That you can turn the tables on the enemy. I said God can set your soul free right here in this service. Amen. Satan may be trying to make a play for you, but God is already 10 steps ahead of him. While the devil is trying to plot and scheme and figure on how to get to you, God has already formed a plan on how to get you out. And before the night, you're going to look back and you're going to realize you already overcame that thing that's had you overwhelmed. Hallelujah. I want you to understand tonight, there are several basic typologies in the book of Exodus. Several parallels can be made between what they faced in their day and what we face in our day. For notice, the Israelites were being held captive in the land of Egypt. Egypt, of course, is a type of the world system. It conflicted with God's people, trying to keep them in bondage. It always led to death and was ruled by an evil tyrant. Those Israelites, they are a type of the church from both the universal and from the individual standpoints. For times, they were like us. Amen. They questioned the Lord because they didn't always see His hand at work. They didn't always see what He was doing behind the scenes. And it caused them to be rebellious, to be disobedient. And their disobedience led to their distraction. And their distraction led to their desperation. You see, they try to create their own road, their own path to get to Canaan land, and they were punished for it. That's what a lot of people are trying to do today. They want to go their own way. They want to do their own thing. And when they wind up in the middle of a crisis, they wonder where God is. They wonder why God has permitted all these things to take place. That's how it was for the Israelites. But let me tell you, even though their ears were not always inclined to the Father's voice, even though their hearts and minds were not always in tune with heaven, they were still God's children. They were still His chosen. Amen. Yes, the Israelites are a type of us as the church and a type of us as the Christian. But also realize that Pharaoh is a type of Satan. He is a replica of our adversary, the God of this world. For he demanded worship, defied the true and living God, and desired to enslave His elect, His anointed. Pharaoh, like Satan, was a hard taskmaster. The Bible says those Israelites, the lives were made bitter with hard bondage. Is that not what the devil desires to do to both you and I? He is opposed to our liberty, our peace, our happiness. He wants to infiltrate bitterness and bondage into our experience. He would like to shackle our soul and make us his prisoner. Amen. That's the devil's intentions, and that was Pharaoh's intentions. But I'm glad in the midst of all of that, in the midst of all the opposition and all the persecution, there was a Moses who is a type of Jesus, our kinsman, redeemer. Moses, like Christ, was both a prophet and a priest, both a servant and a shepherd. As a young child, his life was threatened under the kingship of Pharaoh, as was the life of Christ threatened under the kingship of Herod. They were both born with the jaws of death gaping for them. They were both reared in obscurity between their birth and call to redeem. We get but one single glimpse of them. It's also interesting to note that Moses was rejected by his brothers the first time, as was Christ rejected by the Jews at his first advent. Then Moses was received by his brothers the second time, but while being rejected, he gained a Gentile bride, which pictures the second coming of Christ and his bride, the church. Moses condemned Egypt, and Christ condemned the world. Moses delivered God's people through the blood of the Lamb, as did Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, when he died on the cross, spilling his own blood, so that we might be secured throughout the ages. Yes, Moses and the Messiah alike were divinely sent to rescue a distressed people out of the strong grip of captivity and to bring them to a place of blessing and prosperity. And I feel like telling somebody tonight, there may be a Pharaoh who is against you, but hold on. There's a Moses who is for you. There may be times when you come face to face with the devil, but you'll always be hand in hand with the deliverer. Amen. Come on now. You may have to endure some hardships from Egypt every once in a while. You may have to tolerate some pain that is felt from this world every now and again. But eventually God is going to send a Moses. I said the Lord is going to rise up from the backside of the desert of your life, and he's going to get that old Pharaoh. He's going to give the devil an ultimatum. Let my people go. Loose them and let them go. And aren't you glad tonight? God knows how to get you out. Hallelujah. I want you to notice this text with me. Hallelujah. Notice verses 8 through 11. There arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us. And so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to do what? The Bible says to afflict them with their burdens. Think with me of the adversity they experienced. The adversity they experienced. The Bible says there arose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. Now I want you to understand, when Joseph was alive, God merged two cultures together. He merged two different backgrounds, two different ways of life, the Egyptians and the Israelites. When we study through the book of Genesis, we find that Joseph was favored by the Egyptians. He was preferred by Pharaoh. He had risen to power and had solved the famine issue. He was even responsible for the national growth of the Egyptian people. So you see, if it had not been for Joseph, Egypt would have gone bankrupt in the famine. They would have ran out of their resources and they would have died. But because of a strategy Joseph gave the nation, they were able to persevere so that the growth national economy was dependent and predicated on that which the man of God had done. Joseph went from being in prison to being in power. He was given a high position in Egypt, all because God had used him to bring the deliverance to the Egyptians. But even in knowing all of that, the Bible still says there arose a new king or a new pharaoh over Egypt, which knew
not Joseph. Amen. Why? It's that the way things usually are, you can be a blessing to people, you can go out of your way to help them, but when you bless people, it seems like they got a short memory, doesn't it? It's like they got amnesia or something. You can do things for them 100 times, but the moment that you stop doing what they want you to do, they're no longer grateful. They forget how good that you've been to them. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. That's what happened with these Egyptians. All of a sudden, they forgot everything Joseph had done. And these Israelites were turned into slaves. They were being beaten, abused, and mistreated. And that doesn't look like greatness, does it? This new king had no respect for them as a people, for their culture, or much less for their God. They could not have been more further away from what God had promised them they would become. Amen. I feel like we can appreciate what these people were facing, because I'm sure there's been times in each one of our lives where we felt as if God had not come through on His Word. His promises seem so unattainable to the point where we start to question if He ever even gave us one to begin with. His message of hope and deliverance is drowned out by the ringing sounds of heartache and despair. The certainty of what He has spoken has become a vague thought, a distant memory, and the element of doubt echoes in our minds. But I want to preach to somebody tonight that God's Word is true. His promises are sure, and His grace is enough. One man said, never doubt in the dark what God has told you in the light. My friend, if God said it, don't fret it, because sooner or later it's going to come to pass, and He's going to come through for you once again. You may not be able to do anything else, but just keep trusting God, because I guarantee you, He's going to work it out. I said He's going to work it out somehow, some way, if you'll just hold on. You believe that tonight? I know it's hard trying to understand why we've got to go through the struggle, isn't it? It's hard trying to understand why we've got to experience disappointments in this life. But let me tell you, God is using this affliction to your advantage. He's trying to make something out of you. You know that? It reminds me of a man who, during the Great Depression, he had lost his job, his home, his fortune, and even his wife. But somehow, through all of that, he found a way to hold on to his faith, which was the only thing he had left. They said one day he stopped to watch some men who were building a church. He noticed one of those men was chiseling out a triangular-shaped piece of rock. The man asked the worker, he said, "Excuse me, sir, what are you going to do with that?" That worker said, "Do you see the opening up there near the spire at the top of the church?" That man said, "Yes, I do." That worker said, "Well, I'm shaping it down here so it'll be able to fit up there." They said tears through the eyes of that dejected man as he walked away. It seemed as if God had used that worker to explain the ordeal that he was going through. That's exactly what I feel like telling somebody here tonight. My friend, right now, you can't seem to understand the ways of God. You can't seem to understand why He's letting all these things take place. But can I tell you, friend, God is just shaping you down here so you'll be able to fit up there. I said He's forming you down here so one of these days you'll be able to fit up there. Amen. Come on now. Some of you are wondering right here why everything is going against you. You're wondering why everything is wrong. You're wondering why everything in your life is falling apart and why God is allowing it to happen. Amen. Well, I'll tell you, it's as simple as A, B, C. Adversity builds character. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, "It was good for me to been afflicted." Why? "So that I may learn thy statutes." In other words, it was teaching him something. He was learning something from it. C.H. Spurgeon said, "Affliction is the best bit of furniture in my household." He said, "For all the grace he got at a comfortable, easy times were worth as much as a penny. But the good he received from his pain and grief were incalculable." You see, it's in those times of affliction where you learn how how strong you really are. When you learn that you can go almost to the grave and back and somehow still survive. That the devil can push you all the way to the edge, but you'll still be standing. It'll teach that you can fight through the things that hell uses to try to kill and eliminate you. And you can live through it. I said it's going to show you when it's all over. You may be afflicted, but you don't have to be afflicted by it. Can you say amen? It's hard trying to understand the ways of God. It's hard to understand why He allows us to be vulnerable, susceptible to suffering. It reminds me of a story I read about a young girl. She was 20 years old at the time. She had been violently afflicted with spinal meningitis. She knew that her case was incurable and that her life would be one of chronic invalidism, constant agony. And her most stricken state, a friend was talking to her one day. That friend, in a very sympathizing tone, they said, "It seems that affliction colors everything in a person's life. It seems that it makes everything dark and black, and then just colors everything." They said, "That girl," she responded, she said, "Yes, that's true. But you see, you're wrong about one thing." She said, "I get to choose the color." Amen. I want to tell somebody tonight, you cannot choose the calamity, but you can choose the color. You cannot choose the dilemma, but you can choose the design. I said, you cannot choose the peril, but you can choose the pattern. Because what matters most is not how the trouble may look, but rather how you look at the trouble. Amen. Come on now. D.M. Moody viewed it like this. He said, affliction, amen, is the shadow of God's wings. The darker the night, the brighter the stars. The hotter the fire, the purer the gold. You see, it's in those times of affliction where you realize that there is nothing that can come in between you and the divine providence of God. It takes those difficult days to make you appreciate His grace working in your life. I said, it's the hard times that's going to make you tough. You know that? Oh God. Look at verse 12. The Bible reads, "But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel." Think not only of the adversity they experienced, but also of the tenacity they exemplified. Notice the elements the children of Israel had to overcome. They were taken out of their homeland, their native country, and transported to an unfamiliar place. That alone would have been difficult to deal with, right? But the enemy then tried to break them into bondage. In fact, on two different occasions, we read where the Israelites served with rigor. First in the latter part of verse 13, and then again in the latter part of verse 14. And I think it's interesting to note that word rigor in the Hebrew means to break apart. You see, the Egyptians could not stop the Israelites. They could not hinder their progress. They had enslaved them, but because God continued to keep His hand upon His people, they became afraid of their own slaves. So they devised the plan. This king made a decree to have all the newborns put to death. They tried to kill their children, but the Bible says the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. Amen. Can I tell you tonight, that is exactly what Satan is trying to accomplish in our lives. He is just like those Israelites. He's trying to make us serve with rigor. He's trying to break the church apart, trying to cause division amongst us. But not only that, he's trying to break up our individual fellowship with God. He's trying to break our spirit. He's trying to break astound. And then you know why? Because the devil knows if we ever really get out, if we ever really get over what he's trying to put us through, that we're going to become a force to be reckoned with, that we're going to become an entity that is unstoppable. He knows if he don't defeat us, we're going to end up defeating him. And then that's why the devil is trying to kill you, and that's why Pharaoh was trying to kill those Israelites. But we read where through in spite of everything they faced, the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. There was addition in the midst of their affliction. Amen. I believe we can produce the same response. Don't you? Let me tell you, friend, what the enemy is using to oppress you, God is using to empower you. Because the more you keep pushing, the more you keep fighting back, and the more you keep opposing Him, the more strength you're going to develop, the greater you're going to get, and the more ruthless you're going to become, until one of these days, you're going to outgrow the trouble that has overshadowed your soul. Thank you, Jesus. It's theologists, they're the scientists who study the zoology of fish-like species. They say if one of the arms of a starfish is severed, a new one will grow in its place. In fact, if any piece of a starfish is cut up, if it contains part of the central disc, it will reconstruct itself into a new starfish. Some oyster fishermen found this out, much to their dismay, but enough. Their oyster beds had become infested with a multitude of starfish. Those fishermen had accidentally caught a bunch of starfish in their oyster nets. They cut them up and threw them back in the water. But they found out that rather than destroying or getting rid of them, they were actually helping them regenerate and multiply. Amen. I say, what a picture that is of us as the church. The more we are persecuted, the more we are afflicted, the more we multiply and grow. I want to tell somebody tonight, the devil grieves when you start to grow in God. I said, Satan grieves when you grow. That's why you got to be steadfast. That's why you got to be unwavering. That's why you got to persevere. Amen. Come on, man. It's not when it looks like it's going to happen. It's usually when it looks like there's no way it'll happen when God does it. You want to know how you can tell if you have a tenacious spirit? I'll tell you how. It's when the things that used to bother you don't bother you anymore. When the things that used to throw you don't throw you anymore. When the things that used to upset you don't upset you anymore. That's how you know that you're growing. Amen. I wish somebody would tell the devil tonight what you're doing. It ain't working. Tell him I may be afflicted, but I refuse to be affected. Amen. My friend, you just need to reach that place where even though life is hard, even though life has mistreated you, and the way is tough, and even though you feel like you're about to die, you just need to reach that place where instead of going under, you're going to go over. Where instead of getting weaker, you're going to get stronger. Where instead of giving up, you're going to keep going on. Because when you reach that place, there is no force or opposition that can affect your ability to overcome your circumstance. I said when you reach that place, there is nothing that can keep you from obtaining what God has in store for you. Hallelujah. I'm getting ready to close. If your Bibles are still open, flip with me quickly to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus, the 12th chapter. We read there of Israel being expelled from Egypt. Verse 31 says, and he, speaking of Pharaoh, called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go, serve the Lord, as ye have said. Notice, Pharaoh gives them three commands. He says, rise up, get ye forth, and go. Think not only of the adversity they experienced, not only of the tenacity they exemplified, but lastly, think of the destiny they explored. The destiny they explored. I like how the Bible says it, don't you? It tells us that Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron. When? By night. Can I tell somebody, when the Lord gets ready, you've got to move. It may not be on your timing. It may not be when you thought it would happen. It may not be when you expected it to be. But you've got to be ready to react. Because when you let your faith get big enough. When you have a total dependability and a full reliance on God, there is no devil in hell that can hold you hostage. There is no opposition that can keep you down. I said there is nothing that can get in the way of your advancement or of where you're going. Amen. Come on now. Some of you are here tonight and you've been stuck in that same situation for so long that you've lost all hope of ever really breaking free. Just like those Israelites, you have a slave-like mentality. You become used to living in bondage. You become used to being confined, and you doubt that you'll ever get out. But I feel like God can move for you just like He did for them. For the Bible says that He brought them out. He bared them on eagle's wings. You see, when God gets ready to bring you out, He can get you out in a hurry. He can get you out overnight just like that. It doesn't take Him long to completely rearrange things in your life. He can bring you out on eagle's wings. He can take you above what's been keeping you under, and He can soar at such a rapid speed that people wonder how you got out so quickly. They wonder how you were able to escape so fast, because God can move for you in just a moment's time. I said He can bring you out of it. Hallelujah. The Bible says that these Israelites built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. You study it out, you'll find a treasure city was a storage city, or a public granary, a depot for war provisions. Pithom was known as the city of the god, and Ramses was known as the city of the sun. You see, these Egyptians were forcing the Israelites into slave labor. The enemy was putting them to work. This cruel king was burdening these slaves in order to build the nation, to make him look good. He was having them make huge sacrifices for public projects. Amen. But oh, God turned it around on the Egyptians, didn't He? Amen. We read in Exodus chapter 12 where He gave those Israelites some compensation. For the Bible said, "And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and of raiment, and the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required." And when that happened, what the enemy was using to bring pain, God was using to bring provision. What the enemy was using for suffering, God was using for supplying. I want to tell you, friend, what the devil meant for evil, God meant it for good. That's a perspective you got to have. Amen. That's the outlook you got to maintain. When you go through the good days, you got to say that's good. And when you go through the bad days, you got to say that's good too. Because you got to realize, if you hadn't have went through that, you wouldn't have this. If you hadn't have went through the struggle, you wouldn't have earned the blessing. Amen. Right now, it may not sound good. It may not look good. It may not feel good. It may not seem good. But make no mistake about it, God is using these things for your good. Because we know all things, and how many of them, all things work together for good to them that love God. You love Him tonight, it's going to work for you. Hallelujah. Let's stand and praise Him all across the house. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Thank you, sweet Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise you tonight. Oh, God. Bring us out. Bring me all the way out. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus. Somebody come to music, if you will. I'm reminded of a story, and perhaps you've heard it. They said there was a farmer, Bill Jones, he owned a stubborn donkey. One day while that farmer was outside working, he came to an old well of his. It had been dried up, hadn't been used for years. He looked down, and much to his surprise, he found that donkey had stuck inside the well. Farmer contemplated for a moment. He right
racked his brain wondering, how am I going to get this softy out? He knew there was nothing he could do. Finally, he decided he'd just put that donkey out of its misery. That farmer started shoveling big piles of dirt, throwing it down in the well. Every time he threw a pile of dirt on that donkey of his, it would shake it off its back and stop it under its feet. They said that donkey, amen, every time for hours that farmer would throw that pile of dirt on him, he'd just keep shaking it off, keep stopping it into the ground. Amen, until finally that donkey kept at it until what had once been over his head was now under his feet, and it walked right outside of that well. Amen. That's a message I come to deliver to somebody tonight. My friend, you may feel like you've been let down by life. The worries and the concerns of this world have the end over your head. You're burdened under a heavy load, and it looks like the enemy is about to bury you once and for all. You know what you need to do? You need to have the determination of that donkey. You need to take your trouble, shake it off, and stop it under your feet. And then the psalmist said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Amen. You just got to tell yourself, I'm coming out of this trial any way that I can. I'm coming out of it one way or another. Tell the devil, you may have walked on me, but you walked on me long enough. Now it's time that I walk on you. Tell him, I'm going to walk on you until I walk all the way out. Because you may be afflicted, but you don't have to be afflicted. It don't have to get the best of you. You know that? I want to open these altars tonight. I really feel like there's maybe more than one. I don't know. But surely there's somebody here. Amen. We all face afflictions, don't we? It don't matter where you're from. Don't matter who you are. Afflictions will come. Amen. But I'm glad, even though we can't control the troubles that come our way, we can control the way we react to them. We can control the way we respond. Amen, my friend, all you've got to do is just get your mind out. Amen, if you can get your mind out, you can get everything else out. If you can get your mind out, it won't be long until everything else comes out behind your mind. Amen. You can get your job out. You can get your family out. You can get your finances out. If you can just start looking at things through the eyes of God and see them as they really are, you can get out. He'll bring you all the way out. You believe that? These altars are open tonight. I don't care who you are. You may not be facing an affliction right now, but just wait. Tomorrow, it'll come fast. Amen. Trouble, it'll come fast. You know that? Amen. Let's all come and gather around the altar tonight. Whether you're facing an affliction today, whether you've been through one yesterday, amen, you may have one tomorrow. I just want to get the message across. You may be afflicted. You don't have to be affected. God can bring you all the way out right here tonight if you give it up to Him. Let Him take control. Let Him have His way. Say, Lord, I can't do it, but I know You can do it. I trust You. I surrender it all to You.